Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Will Hayes. Will Hayes is the CEO of Lucidworks, the leader in AI-powered search. Hayes has over 20 years of experience in Silicon Valley, leading product marketing and business development initiatives. Prior to Lucidworks, Hayes was head of technical business development for Splunk. He also created and led the company's global partner program. Earlier in his career, Hayes served as a software engineer at Genentech, where he built solutions that supported the sales and drug development teams. For the past 3 years, Hayes has served as a member of YPO, a global leadership community of chief executives dedicated to improving lives, businesses, and the world. He has also been a partner to 10,000 Degrees, an organization that provides financial, emotional, and educational resources to Bay Area kids. He currently lives with his family in San Francisco, California, where Lucidworks is headquartered.
Well, good afternoon, Will. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, this is exciting. Get to have another awesome guest on the show today. Love podcasts. Want to jump in and talk to some of that about the cool things that you're doing at Lucidworks. So let's start with the questions, Will. You've got quite the background in technology, started as a developer, working in artificial intelligence, and now the CEO of Lucidworks. Could you share with our audience what drives you and what has contributed to your success?
Yeah, no, interesting question. I still ask myself it every day. For me, I was lucky that I was exposed to technology early on when I was young. And, you know, back in the 90s, that was actually a novel thing, not like it is today. And the number one thing for me that just kind of woke me up inside when I first just experienced sort of the internet and programming was just the accessibility. Like, it was so attainable. I could go read information online, I could get books, and then I could produce things. And so This ability to create, I'm a very creative person, but I'm a very bad artist. So most of your natural outlets for creativity don't really lend themselves to me very well. But creating in technology and software was something that just always motivated me. And to this day, it's what's just most exciting about what we do. I think correlating that to what, you know, some people might call success is really just not thinking about it as anything more than just, you know, a joy, having fun in what you're doing, being passionate about it, waking up every day and just being like, man, this is the coolest thing ever that I get paid to come in and do these types of things. And now I get to do it at a level with more resources and more initiatives and objectives and capital. And it's just all that much more fun. So, you know, that's, I think, the secret to really everything in life is just find that joy and stick with it, because life's short.
Absolutely. I appreciate you sharing that. That's pretty exciting. I definitely share some of the same sentiments, Will. It's awesome. And, you know, back in the 90s, it was cool when the internet first came out and it just gradually got better. Right. So let's jump into question two. As you know, everybody globally has had to make these major pivots and shifts, right? This new normal. Could you share with us what you're doing to help your organization stay relevant in the economy?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because it kind of hits us twofold, right? Obviously, we have our own company, our own community, our own people. And the way that the pandemic, the changes to behavior, the sheltering in place, the kids not in school, like all that has a significant impact on our community as Lucidworks. We also partner very closely with our customers. You know, we don't see ourselves as a vendor, we see ourselves as a partner. And so as, you know, our grocery customers were going through surges of online ordering, as e-commerce was blowing up, as more and more needs for chatbot, customer service agents, support calls, people at home finally getting around to things, like there was a material impact on the lives of the folks that we partner with, as well as our organization. If I talk about just, you know, what is a major shift, you know, I'd like to believe that we are always sort of thinking about our people first, whether it's our customers or our employees. One of our core values is honor people. And so people come in all shapes and sizes and forms of relationships with us as a company. One of the things we got really kind of dialed into as this started was really trying to understand where people were at. You know, I'll take the customer examples of where, you know, things like furloughs and reduction in resources created a need for staff augmentation, where we needed to step up and help deliver some of these services. It also meant that certain objectives, like in e-commerce, shifted so dramatically in terms of that digital channel that they had to refactor other processes, other ways that they think about their business. And so really for us to be a partner in that, not just saying, hey, we're Lucidworks, we provide A, B, and C, but no, we're a business partner. We understand the value and the leverage that we're driving, but let us use those capabilities to help you in adapting to this, quote, new normal, if you will. And so really having that kind of people-centric approach. And it was the same thing at home in the office, right? It was understanding, you know, we introduced things like first was a series of mental health days, just knowing that people needed a moment to just balance. We then converted that to what we call a first Friday, where we just said, look, every first Friday, it's a day off from work. But the work commitment is that you will fulfill personal obligations. You will make sure that, you know, the bills are paid, the kids are fed, all the things that are just sort of piling up and become increasingly more difficult for us to manage as there's no context switch between home and work and everything is just a blur. And so just adapting to people is really the only thing I can say that we've doubled down on. I don't want to say it's business as usual. This has been business unusual for sure. But, you know, delivering value, working with scarcity and uncertainty. I mean, this is part of a startup. And so we were somewhat ready for this in the sense that we're kind of ready for any kind of Black Swan event. The final thing I'll say is that we've also been distributed first for a very long time. We do have headquarters. We miss being in those headquarters, but we have had employees distributed all over the world. And so that was less disruptive for us than it's been for some of my colleagues in the industry.
That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that piece of it, especially the human, you know, human capital, the human portion of your business, whether it's your customer, your employee, or your colleague. It's very important during this time. So thanks again for sharing that, Will. And let's jump into a little bit of technology. You know, you're obviously leveraging some new and emerging tech in your tech stack, right? Is there anything interesting that you could share with us today?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I am most excited about right now is a technology that I'll just call vectors for now. And so what is a vector? A vector store is a data store that allows us to store representations of things and concepts. And so when you think about image recognition, what you're doing is you're taking an image and you're mapping it into space as if you were just writing vectors into kind of three-dimensional space. Well, in storing information and concepts in three-dimensional space, we can start to find relationships that were not possible before. Relationships between the way people talk and the things that they're trying to answer. So language and semantics, which, you know, if you speak English, you know, it's hard enough as you move from parts of the United States, let alone to other English-speaking countries in terms of how do you actually interpret intent from language. But when you start plotting these things into vectors, you start to find relationships across multiple languages, which is exciting. You start to be able to do things with like image recognition, where you can take a picture of something and say, find me something similar to this, voice. And so to me, this concept of vectors is really going to replace a lot of what we used to think of like a search index or a database. Because so much of our daily lives now are concept driven, right? It's not about me coming in and querying a keyword when I want to shop or when I want to go somewhere. It's really about, you know, I'm looking for a Thai restaurant, right? And all the different ways to get to the Thai restaurant, whether I can order online, like these behaviors are starting to bleed into every kind of digital interaction. And so vectors are really the technology which allows us to move from everything being contextualized through text to context actually living within these sort of concepts, if you will, and how you store and retrieve those concepts. So I hope I didn't lose anybody there, but it's something that I'm incredibly excited about and I think is going to, you know, really become disruptive to a better portion of actual data stores. You know, people think about AI and apps and I'm like, oh, no, all that's great. By the way, you know where we're keeping 90% of our information today? I think that's going to go away. That's a pretty big deal we're not talking about right now. But vectors definitely in all of the use cases and capabilities from image recognition, sound, question and answering, semantic parsing are all kind of encapsulated in those concepts and things that I just think are incredibly exciting and the rate of change and where we're heading. It's just, we're just starting to see the applications of this in our everyday lives. It's not just Facebook and Netflix and Google, but we're going to see it in just everything we do from setting our microwave to the next time we look for directions or get a question answered or shop at our favorite boutique, let alone somebody like a Home Depot or Amazon.
That's awesome. I love how you highlighted and shared some of that new technology and that we hope to see here in the near future. But thanks again. That's awesome. And that's what this platform is all about, Will. So, Will, can you share something from your career experience that might be helpful for those looking to grow their career in tech or leadership?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I have a lot of these conversations with folks and, you know, I've had kind of a unique journey myself and just kind of, you know, introducing or being self-taught, I guess, into programming and then starting my work life pretty early on. And so I didn't get to complete college and kind of go through some of the traditional paths. There's a lot of different ways to think about it. And, you know, depending on who you are and where you are, it first off, like it's all possible, whether you're switching a career late in life, whether you're trying to get into technology early in life and kind of start the down the journey of whether it's STEM or working in and around technology. The most important thing that I believe that people need to keep in mind is that passion, that joy. And it doesn't necessarily mean that like every day it's fun. Trust me, as a CEO of a tech company, you would think I'm living my 20-year-old dream. But the reality is there's a lot of things that I have to do that are just not that pleasant. But what I can tell you is like the day-to-day, what we do, what we're trying to solve, the customers, the partnerships, the people that we hire, the teams, the communities that we build, like all of that is brings me an incredible amount of joy. And what joy does for me is it turns off the work light. When I'm engaged, I'm not working, right? I'm doing things that are fun. I'm doing things that are exciting and are making me think and exhilarating. And on top of that, and part of this is, you know, kind of where I grew up sort of outside of this world. I was in the East Bay, you know, I'm African-American. Like there's a lot of experiences that don't necessarily translate directly into this professional world. But what it's given me, and I encourage other people to find this also, is just a sense of awe. You know, I take a step back. I take an inventory. I'm about to give an all hands address. I'm about to give a keynote. I'm standing on the NASDAQ getting ready to ring the bell for Splunk. You know, like all of those moments to me still give me goosebumps. And I always tell myself to like embrace that kind of childhood giddiness. Like you're here. It's okay. Like get excited about it. You know, it doesn't matter that you're trying to be stoic in front of your 300 employees or this or that, like just lean in to that sense of awe and that sense of wonder and that childlike just excitement, because that's what just makes everything that much more exciting. And when you're excited, you're curious and you're learning and it's like, you're not working. Right. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you've either moved higher in your career or you're running a company or you're doing this thing that was always kind of a dream in the back of your head, but you were pursuing it just subconsciously through joy. And so I think that really, to me, no matter where you are, like find something you can get excited and passionate about, let yourself really just embrace that sense of wonder and that sense of awe. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, it's easy, but you'll be surprised how many things just start to fall into place professionally when you can achieve those two objectives.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Will. I think that's so important. And what's really cool about this platform and the podcast itself is, you know, I've gotten feedback that people are actually learned or took something to heart from particularly this last question. That's a question I always ask the guests. So thank you again. And that's really important. And Will, I just want to let you know it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me. And I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely. Bye for now.